Everyone, how's it going? Like I said, I'm not really the pastor. I'm an engineer. My name is Kenny. I'm the dad of Andrea and Jean, and husband of Fia. You probably know one of them. You should know. Okay. I'm busy with a sermon series. Last week I preached at the children's church, and it was about Paw Patrol. Who knows what Paw Patrol is? So. The sermon was basically about Jesus as a Paw Patrol, and he wants us to do stuff to bring the kingdom everywhere we go, okay? And it was about maximum 2 minutes long, but it was much more challenging than this 30-minute long sermon. So I hope that during the sermon that you don't stand up, run around, shout stuff, okay? Eat someone next to you, okay? So please don't do it to me again, otherwise I don't think I'm going to preach again. We can start with, so that's my sermon title, 31,000. It's a very significant number. Who can guess what it is? If you can give a scripture reference as well, then I'm sure we can organize a coffee for you afterwards. Who can guess? Seconds in the year, okay. What? Oh, that might be true. Yes. Who else can guess? Yes, Susan. Well done. So if you get to Susan, I think you look like one of the persons that will get at least 85. Then you're gonna have 31,000 days, roughly, in your life. You're just going to make it just before 85. I think there's 25 days before 85. So that's a significant number. That's how much days we've got in a year. And the scripture reference that I was looking for, so no one's going to get a coffee, is actually this one. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So Moses said it, but do you know where it stands? It's also something I learned. It's in Psalm. It's in Psalm 90. It says, meaning it's a psalm of that Moses, can't remember the exact words, but it's Moses' psalm. So Moses said it, and in that he talks to God and said a lot of things, and he says, yeah, if we're lucky, we get to 70 years, and if we're strong, then you might get to 80. So I said 85, so I'm just going a little bit above what Moses said. And then he says, yeah, God, so please come and teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So first of all, he says we must number our days, like we must know 31,000, not really. We must understand that our days, 31,000 actually is so small compared to how long God is living. That's the first thing. The second thing is, we must understand the preciousness of each day. We must understand how precious it is that we can be here today. And with that comes a responsibility to spend that day the way that God wants it. And the last thing I just want to say, he says, teach us. He asks God, teach us. And I think, I can't remember how long back Moses lived, but I think it's still relevant today. If you think about, we spend more time planning a holiday or planning something a week in a way than you spend planning your life. Spend planning your, how are you going to spend your days? How are you going to number your days? So it's really something for our generation to really understand, is to know how God wants us to spend their days. Okay, so today is not going to be practical. Today is going to be practical. It's going to be more of a workshop than a sermon. So life is sometimes more like piano, playing the piano. I don't know if who's played the piano. When I was young, I had UNISA grade 1 piano, but we also did theory, piano theory. Theory was so easy, but it doesn't, and I did really well in the theory. I did grade 1 and 2, I think, in 1 year, and it was very easy. But I still couldn't play the piano very well. So life is a bit like that. We can know all the theory, but it comes to practice. And this is what what's about. This is how we number our days. It must be practical. So, in Ephesians, Paul talks, he talks about leadership, talks all the leadership gifts there are, and says, those people, leadership in church, is there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. When you say equip, it means like you must give them equipment. So I last year did a bit of DIY in the middle of my DIY experience. I'm very forgetful, and my wife doesn't like it about me. Most of the other stuff she likes. I forget our garden gate open over the weekend. So what happened is thief came in and stole my drill that was on the porch. And so in my middle of my DIY experience, I lost my equipment. And you know how frustrating it is if you want to drill something and you don't have, every time you have to go to the neighbor and go and ask him, okay, can I drill it? And look, my DIY project was spread over weekends. So every time I had to use it, I had to go to the neighbor and ask, can I use your drill? And then after a while, I just kept it. So, but it's very frustrating if you don't have the right equipment. So what I'm going to give, what I hope today will do is give you equipment, give you a tool, give you a drill. And you can teach you, can help you to number your days. But it's not just about the equipment, obviously it's about the principle behind it. But it's about practical implication, practical applying this, what God wants us to do. Okay, is everyone still with me? Do you have your drill in your hand? Is there a drill that I can borrow here in the next time? Yeah. Luckily I got one for Christmas. Okay, so the ushers, we're going to just hand out a paper for each, two papers per person. And if you have a pen here, please use it. We've got extra pens. You know what? So you just raise your hand if you need pen and paper. Okay. Or if you have a tablet, you can draw on that. That's also fine. Like Craig, I think you look like you've got a tablet. So that's also a trick in children's church is, you know, you can only talk for 2 minutes and then you do a craft. Because when you do a craft, they keep quiet. So I hope it works with you as well. Then people get focused. So we're going to have a little bit of a craft session. Okay. Does everyone have a pen? Ruben? Okay, so I want you to take one of the papers, and on that paper, I want you to draw a circle. It mustn't be the whole paper, just like this big. That paper is going to represent your life. It's going to represent that 31,000 days in your life. Okay. Just in the middle, yeah. In the middle. Do a template, Elzon, and I can show you. Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. And then in... So maybe we okay, so here's the difficult word is, in that middle, in that circle, I want you to write the most important thing in your life. So, yeah, so that's exactly in my notes. Okay, so some of you might be really honest, and some person that made the universe will be there in the middle, and you know it for a fact and you're honest. But other people might be honest with yourself and say, at the moment, that person is not. But it's fine. What I want you to do, if you know you want that person to be in the middle, the most important person in your life, thing right there. Person, thing, whatever. Who's the most important? I know Reno think he's the most important in your life, but... Okay, did everyone do it? What's the most important thing or person or whatever in your life? Remember, this page is going to represent your life, so... Okay, so in the middle there should be God. Do you agree, everyone? Do you agree? Did everyone get that right? It should be God. God is the most important person. If you're in church, it means that you actually believe that God is the most important person. Okay, next, what I want you to do is, on the sides of your, this is now just roughly, it's not drawing the picture anymore, just on the sides or somewhere, make notes of the other important areas in your life that's important to you. Just brainstorm quickly. There's a few ideas I've put up there that you might include there. Mustn't be close to that circle, because we're gonna, so just in the top corner or on the other paper. You can use the other paper, it's fine. Actually, you can use the other paper for it, it's fine. So if you're married, it might be your marriage might be important to you, your children might be important to you, finance should be important to you, maybe you've got a hobby, maybe you're a kite surfer or a surfer, maybe you have a girlfriend, maybe you have an important cousin. Just write down, you can, it doesn't have to be persons necessarily, it can be, say you've got friends, then you write friends, you don't have to write every friend, if there's a very close friend, then maybe write that person, it should be about 8, 7, 8, 9. Another way to think about it is things you spend time on. It can even be shopping. That is important to you. Or TV. This is not an exact science, so you don't have to worry too much if you left something out, or just roughly, what's the most important things in your life, the other most important things. Okay, then what I want you to do is prioritize them. Just put which one should be second, which third, fourth. Just prioritize, just write the number next to it. See, this is already a good exercise. Just think, what is the most important things in your life? You're not allowed to influence your partner next to you as well. Maybe like Tara tells you, I know Johanni must move me up the ranks. Is everyone done? Normally people in class, the people sitting in front is done first. Lorna, are you done? Lorna is done. The back markers, like Louis, are you done? Louis? Okay, cool. So is everyone done? So what I want you to do is draw this picture. This picture, it's going to come on. Next slide. This picture. Okay, and then write down those areas in there. And you might start, maybe marriage your second one and you go around like that. I mean, there must just be a way you can know, okay, which one is important. Which one is most important, and go down as you... No. Don't make it too complicated. See, it must just look like that. Your circle must look like that. You can use that. If you've made a mess, you can use the other one, other paper. We're not going to... It must just look roughly like that. They say if you can draw a perfect circle, then you're crazy. So, let's see. You just write that. So that's actually mine that I did for myself. Okay, cool. Is everyone done? Still going. Give another 30 seconds. Okay, that's about 30 seconds. Everyone done? Everyone happy? Okay, so look at that picture. That's a picture of your life. So what many people will say is what you must do now is you take each area and then you score yourself. Okay, Okay, so I said this is the most important things in my life. How's my friends doing? How am I spending my time? Or how am I using my time to build friendships? How's my career doing? How's my ministry church doing? How's my children doing? How's my marriage doing? How's my health doing? How's personal growth doing? No. That's what many people say. And there's value in it. There's value in doing that. And it's obviously important to balance it, but there's a higher, for us as believers, there's a higher principle. And the principle is seek first the kingdom of God. That's the higher principle. Yeah, so that's why I didn't do it. So God says we must first seek the kingdom of God, and then what else? What does it say? And his righteousness, and then what? Everything else, all of this will fall into place. See, so it's so important that actually the first circle that we drew, that's the most important thing of your life. And the most important thing of your life will influence everything. If you put, as a Christian, if you put something else there than God, and you must be honest with yourself, if you put money there, if you put your career there, put your wife there, even put your ministry there, then you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. So how it works is practical. If you think about what is the kingdom of God, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does kingdom mean? What does it mean? It means where God is king. That is what kingdom means. If we say we seek first the kingdom of God, we want to see God being king. That's what we want to see. We want to see God being king in this area. We want to see God being king in our social life. see God being king in our career. We want to see God being king in our ministry and our church life. Because that can be also that you have a great ministry with God, but God's not king there. You're actually king. Children, marriage, health, same thing. God wants to be king. And even a more practical thing, what basically just comes down to, is you must listen to God. That's what. Just listen to God, and you must do what he wants you to do. That's what seeking the kingdom in those areas mean. Is listen to God and do what he says. So then it's easy. Because then you say, like we said, we must balance all this. Somehow we think, this is you've heard the metaphor, okay, now I'm balancing my life. I'm balancing my career. I'm balancing my kids. I'm balancing my marriage with my health. But it's not. So what we're doing is we just make God the juggler. What better person there is to juggle your life than God? If you're gonna try and juggle your life, if you're gonna try and balance this life, you're not never gonna get it right. You're gonna be so tired by the end of the day because you can't do it. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, if you make God king in all of these areas, and like I said, that what that means is you just ask him. So sometimes God will tell you, okay, Kenny, I want you for this week or day or whatever, I want you to focus on your career. You've done well with your marriage, your wife is really happy. But I want you to focus on your career. So for this week, it's fine. You can go on a business trip and that is fine. I'll sort out the marriage. Because I tell you that you must focus now on the career. But sometimes God will tell you, no, you're actually doing well in all the areas, but your health is not there. And God says, okay, now for this week, this month, or this period, you must focus on your health. You must eat more healthy, what exercise or whatever. You must do. No, it's fine. You must do that. Go and do that race. I know it will be good for the kingdom of God. God tells it for you. God tells. It means when God tells you something and you react to it and you do what he is reigning in your life, his kingdom has come in that area, in your health area. Same with personal growth, finance, obviously. So God will tell you sometimes you must not, your life mustn't be balanced. But it's fine. God is in control. He's juggling the balls for you. Don't have to worry. It's actually stress-free life. The kingdom life is supposed to be, the yoke is easy. God's yoke is easy. So a great example of this whole thing is in where the disciples, the career fishermen, they're on their boat and they're fishing. And they've trained long for this. They've been mentored in how to fish. They've, like, it's generations of generations. They know how to fish in the Sea of Galilee. I can't even remember what. They know how to do it. Similar to us. We know. We've gone through 12 years of school. We've gone through varsity. We're now working, whatever, where you are. You have trained for it. But the fishing, you're fishing there at your work, but nothing is happening. It's like a wall. And then God comes in, Jesus comes into the picture. So his kingdom is near. And all that he does, he says, okay, all that you must do, just throw on the other side of the net. So you're ready, you've got, everything is exactly the same. The only thing is that you're doing, you're just listening to God. And they throw on the other side of the net, and what happens? It's like massive, massive catch. It's the biggest catch. And they probably talked about that catch for years and years and years after that. And what was the difference? It was, the only difference was that they let the kingdom come in that area of their life, in their fishing. They let the kingdom come. Because when you listen to Jesus and you do what Jesus says, he reigns in that. He's the king in that area. And then, so maybe that's a word for us in our career. Do you feel like you're just fishing and there's nothing happening? When the kingdom comes, that's a supernatural thing that happens when you listen to God. In your health, the same thing. In your marriage, maybe it's just that one word God puts in your heart for your wife. You give her that compliment, and it just, whole attitude changes towards you. And marriage saved. That's how it works. If we're so in tune to what, so Alan, all that I just want to say is that we must just listen to God and do what God Don't worry about everything else. Just listen to God. Do what He's in control. So what I want to do is now, what we're going to do is we're going to practice listening to God in one area. And you probably have to, you'll have to do it in maybe in a small group or during the week. Just listening to God in one area. And I'm going to take you through a few steps how to do it. How to actually number your days. So when we do those things, because those are filling our days. When we do those things, we must listen to God. What is His plan for that day, for these things? Okay, but before that, there's three things I just quickly want to chat to, that we must get our thinking right about this whole kingdom thing. First one is ministry versus personal relationship. You can never replace your relationship with God with some ministry. You can never be, if you're a small group leader or I'm preaching here, I can never let this replace my personal relationship with God. Because ministry is actually, it's one of those other areas that God will make work if I have a great relationship. So it's all about the relationship with God. It's about one-on-one between you and God. Obviously, you'll see in the other areas that will obviously be affected. There might be a way to look at it and say, okay, you're not putting God first, your relationship with God. That's my daughter, Jean. Don't know her. She's a legend. Especially very, very funny after 10 o'clock in the evening when she knows she must actually be in bed. And then the second one is secular versus spiritual. So, we have this idea, and it's a wrong worldview or mindset, that some stuff are just more secular than other stuff, or more spiritual than other stuff. But that's actually a wrong way of looking at it. There's nothing spiritual or secular. It's actually just kingdom or not kingdom. I can be in ministry, and I can be not kingdom. It means I'm not listening to God. I'm not doing what God's telling me to do. God is not reigning in my life. He's not king. There's no kingdom here. I can be in work. I work on wastewater treatment works. That means I work with, when you flush a toilet, that's what I work with. That can be super spiritual because I let the kingdom come in it. I listen to God there. So that's a difference. There's no secular versus spiritual. It's just kingdom or not kingdom. So if I don't listen to God or even ask Him how much I design this, how much I treat the people that I work on the project with, how do I do this, how do this? If I don't listen, then the kingdom is not there. Third one that goes with that is church versus work. And it's sort of similar, but we've got the wrong perception of what is church, or what is the impact that church has on society. We think church, we don't think building, because we know that church is not just a building, but we think, okay, the church is Ronnebosch Shofar. It's everything that's branded with Shofar Ronnebosch logo. That's also not right. Church is the sum of the contributions of its members. What that means is, it's not just the ministries. That's also obviously important, because Matthew is a member of this church, and he's got a ministry. He's got a worship ministry. That is one part of it. But we've also got Johan. He's an investment manager. So do you know, we've got a ministry as Shofar Ronnebosch. We've got a ministry, investments. We've got a big ministry in actuarial science, actually. Like Leon and Kunrad and all this. So we've got a massive ministry there. We've even got a ministry in the poo business, like me. So when you flush a toilet, you're letting the kingdom come in Ronnebosch Shofar. We got like Christoph is my cousin. I know he loves surfing. We've got a surfing ministry. Same with Duncan. We've got amazing. How many churches, how cool is that? We as a church can say, we've got a surfing ministry. We're building boards. Everyone that will surf on Duncan's board, we know they will be impacted by the Holy Spirit. It's a kingdom. The kingdom will come. Whatever he does in that business, it's a kingdom business. But the problem is with our mentality that's wrong. There's one thing that I think, and we as people that's not necessarily in ministry should be careful of, that is we also don't let the church make us accountable for what we do. So I must be accountable, I'm an engineer, I must be accountable for obviously all those other things, but also for my career. I must be, Reina must be able to ask me, Kenny, how's your work going? How's your work ethic? Are you spending enough time in the office? Are you coming up with new ideas? Are you being innovative? Are you treating the people that work with you? How's it going? Are you committed? Are you engaged at your work? Your small group should keep you accountable, but because we've got the wrong idea, is that church is separate from work. We don't do that. So we're actually losing a lot. I think that's maybe the problem of why the kingdom is not coming in many of our businesses. Oh, sorry, we've got Groteskier Doctor Ministry there as well. But maybe that's a problem why the kingdom's not coming in our businesses, is because we don't keep each other accountable for that. Because Johan and I was talking yesterday, and he works for a boss that's very connected with God, and he's got a very good relationship, and it's going amazing with the investment. It's amazing. It's like the fishes. Other people, they catch one little clip fishy, something you can't eat, and they're just catching a lot of fish. But that's what the kingdom is about. Yeah. Okay, so theory, back to practical. So what I've been doing for the past year and a half, I've actually been taking those things, all those areas, and I've asked God, what do you say about it? Just talk to me about it. So I've got a little process, and it's not something that I just came up with. I took a little, stole a little bit here, steal a little bit there. So they call it research. So you can go to the next slide. And I just want to quickly take you through it, and then we're going to do it for one area in your life. Okay, so you can choose which area you want to do. The first one is put on your telescope. Look big picture at each area. Now, this is what you're going to do for each area. Say we just take finance or whatever. Why is it important? Why is finance important? Or why did you wrote something there? Why is surfing important there? Why is, and you ask God, why is it important? And you search the scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures about money. There's a lot of scriptures about other stuff. Maybe not surfing, but I'm sure you can get to it, Christoph. So that's just the one line. You just say, finance is important to me because I must be a good steward, and God, I want to bless people, whatever. Then the second one, and this is where it becomes powerful, is you dream with God. You sit there, and we're gonna practice it. You ask God, okay, God, what would it look like if in the future, somewhere in the future, if this area is kingdom, if it's like your kingdom, if it's like heaven in this area, what would it look like? And then you ask, and then you write down as if you're already there. Say, I'm blessed with all the money I have, but I live simple, and I have more than enough to give away. I'm able to bless. I'm able to give 90% of my money away, not just 10%. And I give it, and it's amazing to see God's kingdom come. Something like that. That's just. So that's a telescope, big picture. So for every area in life, you can do that. Then the second one is the microscope. Then we're going back from far away, we're going back to focus on what is the things that you can do now just to get to this picture that you've painted, that God showed you. What is the things? And you ask God, okay, what is the things I can do? Maybe you're on your marriage thing there, and you say, the thing that I can do is, okay, let's make a standing date once a month with my wife. That's actually something I've put there. And you brainstorm like three or four things, and you put and it must be specific. Prioritize them. Very important, add a deadline. If you're not going to add a deadline, it's not going to work. So say, say for your finances, you say, okay, I want to be debt free by the end of this year. I want to buy a car by the end of this year, whatever. You say, and then right there, December 31st, I want to be debt free. Or even more cooler, if you can say something like, just take your relationship with God. You say, okay, every 5 days a week, I'm going to do quiet time. I commit to 5 days a week, or even 2 days a week, if you struggle with it. Just commit to something. And then it's a habit, then you're building. Because sometimes if you put big goals, it's difficult to get there. But if you have small goals that you do every day, it's much easier. Some people say it's better to focus on the process and just the end goal. Okay. Then, but it's very important that it must be very specific. Then what I do is every week, and that's probably the most important, is you obviously, a lot of people, they do vision statements and mission statements, but they don't go back to it. But it's like reading the Bible. God speaks to us, we write it down, and we must go and visit. That's why the Bible is there. God spoke to a lot of people, and we must go and read it. So every week, I go to my office. First thing I do, try and do it. Okay, sometimes I must be authentic. Yeah, I don't always get it right, but I try and do it as many times as possible. I go there on Monday, and last year I had the thing printed out. This year I haven't printed it out yet, but I'll read it on computer. I'll just read through it, everything. This is what God's told me about. How can I seek His kingdom? And then I plan my day. And then I plan my week. So then I've got that mental picture again of what God's told me. So what's powerful is, you know, your subconscious, you're just pushing this thing in your subconscious. So I know what I'm standing in. I know how I want my marriage to be when we're 85 and we're still in love. I know how I want my finance to be because I've read that story over and over and over again. Every now and then I tweak it as God tells me things. With some of my goals, I say, oh no, that was completely unrealistic goal that I set. So I tweak it, I update it. But that's also with God, because God, you'll make a lot of mistakes in this. But that's how my process is. So I'm just going to quickly read to you. So I want you to, let's do this. I want you to choose an area in your life that you want to, that we're going to do this for. Just one area. The rest you can do at home, or you can do in your small group. And then I want you to go through those steps. And while you do that, I just want to give you a few examples. Like I said, choose an area, and then on one of the open spaces on your page, write it down. Actually, you can become very creative. Mine is just a story, but you can also, obviously with the vision, you can make some people talk about a vision board, and you'll put photos of things or that represent your vision. The artist can draw something or make a video, whatever. That will even be more powerful. So you can start now, while you're busy with the why. Why is it important? That's like the purpose of it, of this area. It's like, I'll just, what I wrote for my relationship with God, I said my relationship with God is where everything starts and ends. With Him, I'm nothing. He will make sure that the rest of my life converges. Basically what I'm talking about. Okay, so you can quickly write your, before we start, I just want to pray quickly for us, because the Holy Spirit is really into it, because He must speak to us if it's our own minds, and it's not going to work. Then you're not going to catch any fish. Okay, God, thanks. I just pray that your Holy Spirit is here. Thank you that we know He's here. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll come in right now, and you come and talk to us about that specific area, and you make it real to us. And yeah, just tell us, what is your plan for that specific area? In the name of Jesus. Amen. Just put your hand up if you're done with, so that I can get an indication. the first one. Just the why, yeah, just the why. If you get, okay. That first one is just a sentence. You can still carry on with the why. It's important if you're still busy with it, but I'm just going to carry on. So second one is dream with God. And I just want to read to you, make myself vulnerable here, mine that I have for my marriage. So you can just get an idea of this example. Fia and I are just as in love as we were when we first started. Yeah. Playing squash in Willow's squash courts. That's our raise at varsity. She's in love. She's the love of my life, and I treat her like that. I'm still the biggest hero. We as a team make a massive impact on everyone that we meet. We break the stereotype that being married must be boring. I think single people can agree to that. Through our relationship, many people start to have a relationship with God. People love it to ask us for advice, as they know they will get loving, out-of-the-box advice and feel better about themselves and God afterwards. So that's my vision. So it's like a paragraph. So go and do that now for whichever area you chose. Like I said, we're going to end off with this one. So just write, just quickly, write 3 to 5 things that you can do now, this year, 2018, to accomplish that the dream or the... Give you 3 minutes for that. Okay, cool. I'm sure this, remember this is not just the start. You can still obviously go and review it. But I went, and we ran out of time. I'm also conscious because I know how it goes in children's church. So I just want us to stand. How it goes in children's church if we go over time. So I just want us to stand. And let's pray. So obviously it's not about the tools. It's about the principle. You can apply it in your life like in many different ways. It's about making God king over every area of your life. So if you're keen, then I just want you to raise your hand and you say to God, you just want to tell God that I want to make you king in every area of my life. And then I just want to pray for us for that. I'm also putting my hand up higher than most people. Thanks, Jesus. We just bring our whole lives to you. We bring our 31,000 days before you, Father. You are the only one that can balance it. You're the only one that can juggle every area of your life. And we give it to you, Father. And I pray, God, that let your kingdom come. Father, I pray that you'll come and speak into every area of our lives, Father. You really want to make it, make you king. And just on your own, in your own words now, just tell God you want to make him king over every area. Maybe there's some specific areas, and just give that to him as well. Father, I just release supernatural words over your people, over this church, Father. You speak into your lives and miracles happen in their work, in their health, in their marriages, everywhere, Father. As they obey, miracles happen. I pray that in the name of Jesus. And if you specifically, if you have a problem with your relationship with God, then I just want you to, any area, there's some specific thing you want us to pray, then you can just come forward and then we can pray with you. Because obviously some of the things might stood out for you that's really struggling in that area, then we can pray for you and we can ask God together. That's also the powerful thing, is I don't have, just have to listen on my own. I can listen with other people as well. I can ask my friends, okay, what is God's word for this area in my life? And they can give input in that. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you that you played with and enjoyed the craft.